That was Dream Dancing from Steve Ashe's You and the Night. I would like to feature DSFA Red Leafs hockey at this time. On November 2nd, the non-conference Red Leafs hosted the Maryville University Saints, an American Collegiate Hockey Association Division I team based in Chesterfield, Missouri, for the second day in a row at Barnaby's Bill Copeland, where there were a lot of people in the stands, with around half of them cheering for the visitors. The hosts got a power play chance 3:31 into the game, as Maryville's Brett Osolak was penalized for a trip, and SFU's Luca Grabas gave the Red Leafs a 1-0 lead as he eluded St. Lucas Spain at 5:02 in the first. SFU got another chance at a man advantage at 10:19 as Maryville's Campbell McLean was sent out for a cross-check, and Zach Maxwell gave the Red Leafs a 2-0 lead 36 seconds later as he beat St. Lucas Spain. SFU opened up a 3-goal cushion with 7 seconds left in the first on a Ben Wartelli on Maryville's Lucas Spain as the Red Leafs ended the first period of 3-0 on the Saints, outshooting the visitors 17-5, based on a picture I took from the game, and confirmed by the YouTube broadcast for the game with the play-by-play man Nick Torin and color commentator Austin Kozikar. The hosts got into some penalty trouble in the second period as Tanner Dawkins was called for a trip 3 minutes in, followed by another trip call against Thomas Tian 18 seconds later, giving Maryville a two-man advantage. While SFU killed the 5-on-3, the Saints got on board 2 seconds later as Jack Henderson beat Red Leaf Jesse McKay at 5:02. SFU restored the 3-goal lead 13-28 into the second as Luca Grabas eluded Maryville Lucas Spain for his second of the night, right after which the host replaced Jesse McKay, who stopped 11 of 12 shots faced with Cale Dolan just before the next faceoff. But the visitors got their third power play soon after, as SFU's Kyle Young was penalized for a hold at 13:42, 6:18 left in period 2, and Maryville's Court Corpse scored on the first shot that Cale Dolan faced, with 4:24 left in the second, as the Red Leafs' lead over the Saints was cut to 4-2. SFU earned a power play opportunity with 2:49 left, as Campbell McLean was penalized for boarding Walker Erickson but couldn't score on Maryville's Lucas Spain as the game remained at 4-2, with the Red Leafs outshooting the Saints 28-13 after the first 40 minutes. Late in the third, Maryville got its fifth power play opportunity after SFU's Tanner Hawkins was called for a trip, a 2-minute infraction on top of a 10-minute misconduct, with 2:04 left in the third, on top of other penalties for both sides, including Red Leaf Zach Maxwell and Saint Will Smith, as Rocco Lacara served one penalty for the Red Leafs. After pulling their goalie Lucas Spain for an extra attacker, making a 5-on-3 power play for the visitors, Maryville's Max Wagner scored on SFU's Cale Dolan with 1:03 left in regulation. The Saints got another attack shortly after the goal. As its backstop Lucas Spain was pulled once again for an extra attacker and tied a game with 4 seconds left as Max Wagner scored his second within a minute to force sudden death overtime as SFU outshot Maryville 33-26 in regulation, as the non-conference Red Leafs played in a 5-minute 3-on-3 overtime for the very first time to cap off their weekend set against the Saints. The fourth period had a lot of end-to-end action, but multiple shot attempts were blocked, after which SFU had a 3-on-2 led by Lucas Ceccarelli, who dropped the puck to Luca Grabas, who passed the rubber to Tanner Hawkins just behind the right face-off circle. Hawkins then fed Ceccarelli a diagonal pass as he was on the left face-off circle and shot the puck top shelf on Maryville's Lucas Spain as the Red Leafs won a 5-4 overtime thriller to sweep the weekend set over the Saints at Burnaby's Bill Copeland, where the host outshot the visitors 34-27 for the game as SFU's relief Cale Dolan stopped 13 of 16 shots, while Maryville starter Lucas Bain yielded 4 goals on 34 shots. My big thanks to the SFU Red Leafs broadcast crew, the play-by-play man Nick Torin, and color commentator Austin Kosikar.
Hi, it's Steve Chong. I am in front of the SFU Red Leafs hockey team's dressing room, actually closer to the Burnaby Lakers senior A lacrosse storage room, and I'm interviewing the head coach for the SFU non-conference Red Leafs, who edged the Maryville University Saints 5-4 after an exciting finish where Lucas Ciccarelli scored a game winner in OT. First of all, what was said in the dressing room after the non-conference Red Leafs beat the Maryville 6-4 last night for the team's first home win against an American college?
Oh, you know, it's just, you got to play tough, play hard, and, you know, the bottom line is, you know, every team is going to be very, very tough competition, so we knew what we were getting into at the beginning of the year, and it's always fun to play these games, but you got to play for a full 60, so that's our focus.
Explain the first period where the Red Leafs scored at least 2 power play goals and finished the first 20 up 3-0.
Yeah, it was good. You know, I think we played good in the first and second period tonight, and just a lot of good things. The third period, we definitely felt flat, and we got to get better.
Explain why the starter Jesse Mackay was replaced by Cale Dolan with 6:32 left in the second.
Well, we're just trying to get everybody in there, get the goalie some reps. You know, some of the guys haven't played that much.
What happened in the third period where the Saints scored 2 goals in the last 2 minutes?
A couple of breakdowns, gone to power play trouble, so, you know, that shouldn't happen, but, you know, we found a way to win at the end.
Tell me your vantage point of Lucas Ciccarelli's game winner in overtime, a 3-on-3.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, it was back and forth, the overtime, so that was fun and exciting. But, you know, they made a nice play to get it in deep, made a nice passing play, and Ciccarelli took his time and made sure he put it in the net.
What does the SFU non-conference Red Leafs have to do to win next Friday, which I believe is your alumni, from what I understand?
Yeah, I mean, we go to Plattsburgh and St. Lawrence, and, you know, we got to get back to figuring out how to play against high-end NCAA competition. We did a good job 2 weeks ago. Didn't get the results we wanted, but we definitely competed and played well. So I think we're going to have a good week of work and get ready to go.
One more question. How does Maryville compare to other NCAA Division I teams?
Yeah, they're similar. They play hard and they play fast. It's maybe the size is a little different, but, you know, it's always good to play the American schools, and they're all quality teams.
Thank you for the interview tonight. Congratulations on sweeping the Maryville University Saints this weekend, and good luck next Friday, November 8th.
All right, thank you.
Correction, tonight the SFU non-conference Red Leafs play St. Lawrence today with Plattsburgh tomorrow night. Now to my second interview.
Hi, once again, it's Steve Chong. Tonight is November 2nd. I am in between the SFU Red Leafs dressing room and Burnaby Lakers Senior A Lacrosse Storage 11, closer to the latter. And I'm now interviewing
Lucas Ciccarelli,
the game-winning scorer in tonight's exciting 5-4 win for the SFU non-conference Red Leafs over the Maryville University Saints for a weekend sweep. First of all, what was said in the dressing room after the Red Leafs 6-4 win over Maryville, the first home win for the non-conference team over an American college?
It was good to find a way to win the first night, but wasn't a good enough effort, kind of let them back in 2-3 period goals, and just barely snuck out of that one, so just good to find a way to win.
Explain the 3-goal outburst where the Red Leafs scored 2 power play goals in the first.
I think it was a good start for us. We played hard, lots of shots, and just crashed in the net.
What do you think about the physical play where the Saints often came at you?
They played hard, but just gotta keep your head up and play hard. It's part of hockey. You just gotta be ready for it.
Due to the Saints' physical play, the Red Leafs had a lot of power plays. But what happened to the Red Leafs' power play in second and third periods? What was the feeling in the bench, the Red Leafs bench, when the Saints scored 2 goals in the last 2 minutes of regulation?
Obviously not ideal. Let them back in with that, but I think we had a good group. Just put our heads down, grinded, and found a way to win.
Finally, about the game, tell me about the game winner that you scored in OT.
Just picked it up in our own zone and saw their D-ber backed off, dropped it to grabs, and then found Docs, and Docs made a good play through the slot, and it was just a back to our game.
Now I'd like to delve into your hockey journey.
Yeah.
When did you start the game?
I started playing when I was about 5.
When was the first time you made a rep or a travel team?
Probably when I was about 10 or 11 years old.
What was the last team you played for before coming to the SFU Red Leafs?
I played for the Broncos in Saskatchewan.
From what I understand, the SJHO is a junior A-League. What does the Red Leafs have to do to win the next game, which I believe is Plattsburgh on November 8th?
I don't know too much about them, so we're going to have to watch the film. But I think just play a lot harder than we did this weekend, and find a way to get it done.
What year of eligibility are you in?
I'm in my second year.
Finally, what would you like to accomplish with the SFU non-conference Red Leafs, which do not play in any conference?
Ultimately, I think we all want to where it's going to go. It's a great opportunity here, and to see it do that would be huge. And be a pioneer for the program.
Congratulations on sweeping Maryville University this weekend, becoming the first star of the game, from what I understand. And best of luck on November 8th.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Once again, the SFU non-conference Red Leafs play St. Lawrence today in Canton, New York, with the puck drop at 4:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Meanwhile, the BCIHL Red Leafs are also in action as they host the UVic Vikes at Burnaby's Bill Copeland, with the puck drop at 7 p.m. Here are the current BCRHL standings, where 2 points are ordered for a win with 1 point for an OT loss. University of Victoria and Vancouver Island University are tied for first with 4 wins and 1 OTL loss each, 9 points. Simon Fraser is third at 3-1, 6 points. Logan Lake. The Logan Lake Miners are 2-4-1, 5 points, 4th. And the Okanagan Lakers are last at 1-4-2.
Looking for a community who will support you on your academic journey? The Student Learning Commons has got your back. The Student Learning Commons is SFU's Academic Success Center. We provide free workshops, one-on-one consultations, coaching, and online tutoring with a focus on writing, study skills, and academic English. All Student Learning Commons programs and services are available to SFU students and are approved by SFU as providing ethical, academically honest support. Learn more by visiting our locations in the library on all three SFU campuses, or check us out online at learningcommons.sfu.ca.
I would like to provide an update on the SFU rowing team, which are also not part of the SFU athletics at this time. The rowing team completed their fall 2024 schedule last weekend at the Canadian University Rowing Championships in Victoria, BC, hosted by UVic. The Red Leafs' best finishes were 2 runner-up finishes in the three-team women's 1X at 836.58, only behind University of Waterloo at 830.31, and in the two-team men 2-minus at 748.85, won by St. Francis Xavier University at 715.82. The SFU rowing coach Christian Henry was named the builder of the year.
Starting from the week of Monday, May 30th, the Student Union Building is open 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. The sub-building common spaces, along with the bookable spaces, are available for use. Any comments or questions, please go to the Simon Fraser Student Society website at sfss.ca for more information.
Now I'd like to talk about the Surrey Police transition at this time. It had been the most polarizing topic in Surrey for the last 6 years. The then Mayor Doug McCallum pursued a Surrey Police Service, which was approved by the BC government in 2020. Fast forward to 2022, Brenda Locke, who campaigned to stop the Surrey Police Service, became the mayor by beating McCallum with less than 1,000 votes on October 15, 2022. But Mike Farnworth, BC's Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, ordered Surrey City to continue with the Surrey Police Service on July 19, 2023. However, Locke's fight did not end right away, as her 2 petitions against the BC NDP government for a judicial review on being forced to continue with the SPS was rejected on May 23, 2024, followed by her acceptance of the court's decision on June 10th, and culminated by an agreement between the BC NDP government and Surrey City on July 10th, according to a BC government news release. Surrey will receive $30 million a year to 2029 when a financial guarantee of up to $20 million if the SPS salaries higher than the RCMP may kick in and continue until 2034 for a total of $250 million. Surrey will fully support the transition to the SPS and not impose a police tax in the next decade. In addition, according to the BC government news release, the SPB budget, originally requested at $141.5 million, fits within Surrey's financial budget and will hire 526 officers by the end of 2024, 67% of all Surrey police officers. All of this week's developments were from Twitter. On November 3rd, the SPS blocked the entrance of Surrey Lakshmi Narayana Hindu Temple as the SPS stood in between the Indian government, where some of their officials were visiting the temple, and Khalistani supporters who were on the other side of the road. 3 people were arrested during the standoff, with the Surrey RCMP and a security company also helping out. The president, Satish Kumar, said the SPS will not be welcome in Sri Lakshmi Narayana Hindu Temple. On November 4th, according to Surrey Now leader, Sri Lakshmi Narayana Hindu Temple asked for suspensions of officers involved in the arrests, as the article also provided background information on the incident written by the Canadian Press. Also on November 4th, the SPS promoted that it will become Surrey's new police service, as it will become Surrey's police's jurisdiction on November 29th, where the BCRCMP's Provincial Police Force will assist the SPS until the transition completes, according to the SPS website. On November 5th, the Vancouver Sun published an article from Patrick Penner of Tri-City News, where the Port Moody Police Chief David Flugo talked about an unprecedented number of vacancies within the force, with 39 out of 53 officers leaving, 31 in, with the SPS poaching 17 of 39 officers in the last 5 years. Chief Flugel also noted that the SPS, which want to have up to 1,000 officers, is straining education cohorts in the Justice Institute of BC, where all BC Municipal Police officers are trained, at least the new BC Municipal Police officers, from what I understand. On November 7th, the SPS tweeted that two of its constables, Da Silva Giraldi, helping out at Regent Christian Academy to build food hampers for the City Dream Center. There have been more developments later on, as today, which is the National Indigenous Veterans Day, the SPS honor and remember the brave veterans who served and sacrificed for our freedom. Also, there will be a recruiting section tonight as the UBC Thunderbirds visit the Trinity Western University Spartans for men and women's volleyball at Langley Events Center. Also, which just came in 31 minutes ago, the SPS provided another promotion video of when they will take over as Surrey's police's jurisdiction on November 29, 2024, where there will be SPS and RCMP officers throughout Surrey, with more frontline SPS officers in Wally City Center and Newton. As of today, the numbers, just a minute please. As of right now, the SPS currently has, this is as of last month, 445 officers, with 84 females and 361 males, with 189 visible minorities and 19 indigenous officers. Thank you for listening to episode 43 in the Steve Chong Show in 2024, part of Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. Coming up at 4, it is Voice of the North. I'd like to provide a scoring update on the lone SFU athletics game involving the Red Leafs women's soccer against the Vanguard Lions, which is taking place right now. SFU is leading Vanguard 40-30.
My name is Jamie Hill. I'm the Design and Communications Manager at Embark Sustainability. I think my favorite thing about Embark is that you do not have to be the climate know-it-all. You don't have to know everything about the issues that are going on. You really just need the passion to get started. So depending on what you're interested in, you might have a unique skill or interest that you don't think is applicable to climate at all, and it turns out you are the people that we need to be part of the community. So I'd really encourage anybody who has even an inkling of interest in climate or food justice to get on board. Embark Sustainability Society is an independent, student-centered nonprofit working across SFU campuses. Embark focuses on climate and food justice in their programs and initiatives. Some of their ongoing work includes their food rescue program, learning gardens, and sustainability career nights. Discover your role in building a sustainable future based on your unique skills and interests. Learn more at embarksustainability.org and follow along on Instagram at embarksustain.
Hi, my name is Lowell, and you're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, Simon Fraser Campus Radio.
Would you give me a beat?
CJSF 90.1 FM is the campus radio station for Simon Fraser University, located on Burnaby Mountain in BC, Canada. CJSF 90.1 FM, diverse, independent, yours. Check us out on SoundCloud or at cjsf.ca.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia, broadcast.